Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. You're listening to Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. Our theme today is loaves and fishes, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. A well-known evangelist, J. John, tells the story of two men who once competed with each other in a test which involved cutting down trees. One man struggled in the heat all day to come out on top, while the other man kept moving away from his work to take time out. When all the work was monitored at the end of the day, the man who had kept taking breaks actually won. "How come you're the winner?" shouted the first man. "You kept having time off. You must have been cheating." "Oh no," replied the second man. "I won fair and square, because every time I sat down for a rest, I sharpened my axe." Many people claim that when we take time out to pray, something similar happens. Our first hymn is Be Still and Know by David Kaufman, and it interprets Psalm 46. It says, "The mountains shake, the waters roar, the valleys tremble with fear, and yet our strength, our refuge sure, whispers in our ear, Be still, my love, and know that I am God. Though nations fight, though kingdoms fall, though spiteful hearts will harm, your mercy holds us, we hear you call. We linger in your resting arms as you say, Be still, my love, and know that I am God." A very appropriate hymn for today's world. Last week's Gospel reading and this one today both show that Jesus often withdrew from the hustle and bustle of life to pray and take some rest. That's why in this reading he called his disciples to a quiet place to recharge batteries after a mission tour. but unfortunately the crowds aren't far behind, as today's reading will show. I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than 200 denarii to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Here's a very popular hymn for us, coming to us from Songs of Praise in the Royal Albert Hall. "Guide me, O thou great Redeemer."
Yeah.
So Jesus is greeted with a vast crowd of people who followed him and his disciples there to their place of retreat. They've obviously watched where he was headed from their shore as he moved towards the opposite shore. It's Jesus here who asks the obvious question, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? We read in Matthew, Mark and Luke's Gospels that the disciples are quick to ask Jesus to send the crowd away. Lord, it's a lonely place, they say, and it's getting late. Send the people off to the farms and villages round about to buy themselves something to eat. In other words, it's not our responsibility. It's their fault they've got no food. Move them on, Lord, not up to us. We didn't create the problem, they did. Sadly, many people think this way today. But here in John's Gospel, Jesus turns to Philip, who's from a nearby town, with this question. After all, who knows the area better than he? And so Philip begins to work out the cost. That's 5,000 people. Bread for 25 will cost 1 denarius, 1 day's wage. That's 200 denarius. You can almost hear him and the other disciples working it out in their heads and saying, we can't possibly afford it. Have you ever gone for a country walk along a track paved with uneven rocks and not even noticed the beauty around because you're looking down all the time at the path in case you fall? The disciples are doing this very thing right now. They're looking down at the problem and not up at the solution and the beauty right there in front of them. They fail to look to the one who has been constantly working miracles and signs, God's chosen one. They just can't see yet who Jesus is or the extent of his power to work wonders. They're blind. They cannot see it yet. But soon they will. Let's listen to Chris Tomlin singing his version of Amazing Grace, My Chains Have Gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Then Andrew, brother of Simon Peter, pointed out a young boy who had some food, 5 barley loaves, food of the very poor, and 2 small fishes. And so Jesus commanded the disciples, make the people sit down. Can you even begin to imagine what was going through the disciples' minds at that very moment? I think I might have some idea because I once accompanied 60 schoolchildren when they visited a Hindu temple in Newcastle as part of a school visit. And when it got to lunchtime, which was being provided for us in that small crowded hall, I thought to myself, this is going to be fun. But I was dead wrong. When it was time to eat, all of the children were told to get into 3 long double rows and face each other. Then they were asked to sit down, leaving a gap for the cooks, who walked down between each row with paper plates, plastic forks and 2 large pans, 1 curry, 1 of rice, and the children got a dollop of each and were full up in minutes. I couldn't believe it. If that had been any British cafe system, we would have all stood and queued for ages, with all the frolics in between. In Mark's Gospel account, the people were made to sit down in an orderly fashion too, in regimented rows. But then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed them to the people as they sat there, in very much the same way as a Holy Communion service in our churches on Sundays. He did the same with the fishes, and they all had as much as they wanted. Our next song says, "With a prayer you fed the hungry, with a word you stilled the sea, yet how silently you suffered that the guilty may go free." It's your The Author of Creation by Stuart Townend.
You're the Word of God, you're the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory, let the land and seas rejoice. Came to seek and save the lost, and exchange the joy of heaven for the anguish of a cross. With a prayer you fed the hungry, with a word you stilled the sea, yet how silently you suffered that the
Some people are so quick to dismiss miracles. I've heard it argued that what really happened that day was that when the young lad offered his food to Jesus, all of the people who had secret stashes of food offered theirs up too. They argue that the story is really all about sharing and being generous. But if we compare this with all the other miracles that Jesus performed, it seems that anything is possible with him. His compassion and provision for the needy was truly unique. He satisfied the people, and no one went away empty. And 12 baskets were filled with leftover scraps. Those of us who follow him are called to show compassion too, by stepping out as he would have done, in faith and in obedience wherever he leads, and to whomever he guides us to, listening for his instructions as we go along. Let's listen out for that still small voice of his today, so to treat others as we would like to be treated ourselves, because there but for fortune go you and I in this world. Here's Joan Baez singing, "Show Me the Prison."
Show me the prison, show me the jail, show me the prisoner whose life has gone stale, and I'll show you a young man with so many reasons why. There but for fortune go you or I. Show me the alley, show me the train, show me the hobo who sleeps out in the rain, and I'll show you a young man with so many reasons why. But there but for fortune go you or I. show me the whiskey stains on the floor. Show me the drunkard as he stumbles out the door. And I'll show you a young man with so many reasons why. But there, but for fortune, go you or I. Show me the country where the bombs have to fall. Show me the ruins of the buildings once so tall. And I'll show you a young land with so many reasons why. There, but for fortune, go you.
The smallest gift given to help someone in need, no matter how insignificant it may seem, blesses others, and in some cases blesses the giver too. There's a story told by Tolstoy of two men on pilgrimage from Russia who were headed to Jerusalem for the Easter celebrations. One of them only had the journey's end in mind and would turn aside for no one. The other man encountered many people on his journey who needed a helping hand, and he gave them so much of his time and money that he missed the festival. The one who gave graciously, that is, gave with grace, and those who received from him were richly blessed by God. But the one who reached the festival that Easter seeking to be blessed came away empty. I once heard the meaning of that word grace summed up as an acronym, God's reward at Christ's expense. I rather like that. I've always thought of it in terms of Christ's love spilling out from us to others. We could all do with a little grace, which is the title of our next song by Jen Bostick, who sang this on Songs of Praise some time ago. A little grace.
If I said something shocking, you might listen to me. If I call out a race or a gender, you learn to love or learn to hate rather quickly. I could voice my opinion, it won't change a thing. But I'm not confused about what I believe. Thank God I'm not the one judging the right from the wrong. We sinners aren't sinning in shades of gray. God knows we could all use a little grace, a little grace, a little grace. The Buddhists, the Muslims, Christians, the Jews, we all love someone, something, a little trick, a little fix that's getting us through. We like to point fingers, so quick to throw stones, until we're the victim and fall from our throne. I'm not the one judging the right from the wrong. We sinners aren't sinning in shades of gray. God knows we could all use a little grace. Thank God.
The hungry and thirsty on our doorsteps, in our locality, and all across the world, are just human beings with needs just like others. You give them something to eat, Jesus still says to us today. So what is our response? If you're in a hospital bed today, may you be back to full health and strength very soon, and may you know God's blessing on your life. We finish with Take My Life and Let It Be, sung here by Leanne Albrecht. Bye for now.